All right, ready to dive deep. Today we're tackling Dutch labor law and figuring out how to handle a workplace inspection when you've got young people on the team.
It's kind of like getting ready for a pop quiz.
Totally. But instead of memorizing formulas, we're getting you prepped on all the rules for protecting young workers here in the Netherlands.
Exactly.
Our guide for this is a document called the Base Inspectie Module, Arbeid Stedenwet, Arbeid door Jeugdigen en Kinderen.
Catchy title.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. It was published March 7th, 2017.
Basically, it's the inspector's checklist.
Right.
Making sure no one's breaking the rules of the Working Hours Act when it comes to young employees.
You can actually find this document online at www.preventtimemeadworker.net.
Good resource.
It's a site run by a guy named Ronald Whoevers, who helps organizations navigate all those workplace regulations.
Huh. Yeah.
Hazardous materials, noise levels, risk assessments, all that stuff.
So in this deep dive, we're cutting through all that legal jargon and giving you the practical know-how to handle an inspection.
Nice. Okay, so let's say an inspector shows up at your business. What's the first thing they're going to do?
First thing, they're going to want to know if you even have anyone under 18 working for you.
Makes sense.
If the answer's no, you're good. But if you do have young employees, things get more interesting.
All right, let's say I have a couple of teenagers working part-time in my cafe after school. What happens then?
That's where those submodules come into play.
Submodules?
Yeah, this inspection module has three of them. Submodule A for regular work like your cafe, submodule B for internships and vocational programs, and then there's submodule C, which covers those kids under 13 working in the arts.
Hold on, kids under 13 can legally work in the Netherlands?
It's rare.
I thought that was a no-go.
Generally, it is. There are very specific exceptions and strict rules, but we can get into that a bit later.
Okay, so back to my cafe. What exactly is the inspector looking for?
Well, they'll figure out which submodule applies.
Right.
Your cafe would be submodule A, regular work. Then they look at age. That's a big factor.
Oh, I bet. I'm guessing I can't have a 14-year-old running the espresso machine.
You got it. There are a lot of restrictions based on age, especially for the younger ones. And it's not just the type E of work. They'll be checking work hours, break times, all that jazz.
Better have those timesheets in order. What about other documentation? What kind of paperwork are they going to want to see?
Work hour records are super important. They'll be looking at the past 4 weeks, but you got to keep those records for a full 52 weeks.
Wow, a year.
Yeah, it's good practice to have a system where it's easy to find those records.
So digital records are a lifesaver.
Definitely. But it's not just tea about hours. They'll also look for a risk assessment specifically for young workers. It's called a DEAL-RIN.
A risk assessment just for young people. What's that about?
It's about identifying anything in the workplace that could be dangerous and then making sure you're doing everything to minimize those risks, especially for young folks who might be more vulnerable.
Yeah, teenagers aren't exactly seasoned professionals. They probably don't always see the potential dangers.
You got it. It's all about creating a workplace where they feel safe. Andy can actually learn and grow.
Right, and speaking of growing, I'm guessing the inspector will want to see that you're providing good information and training that makes sense for their age, right?
Absolutely. You can't just hand them a huge legal document and expect them to understand it.
Right.
The information has to be clear, short, and presented in a way that works for their age group.
So maybe use visuals, keep things simple, or even give them a quiz at the end.
Now you're getting it. And it's not just the information, it's the supervision.
Yeah.
They want to see that you're providing proper deskundigtuitsicht.
Deskundigtuitsicht. Okay, so it's more than just having a manager check in on them every now and then.
Much more. They want to see that you've got a designated supervisor who is there, paying attention, and able to guide and support the young workers, taking into account their age and the specific tasks they're doing.
So it's kind of like mentorship. Someone who can answer questions, give advice, and step in if there's a problem.
You got it. These are young people. They're still learning the ropes. They need that extra layer of support.
Wow. It sounds like there's a lot to keep in mind when employing young people. But I'm definitely seeing the reasoning behind it all. It's about protecting them and setting them up for success, right?
That's the key. And the great thing is when you focus on those things, you create a work environment that's good for everyone.
Okay. So we've covered the basics of submodule A, but what about the other submodules? Like, what's the deal with Kunstkinderen?
Kunstkinderen? That's a whole other world. We're talking about child performers, and it's got its own set of rules.
I'm intrigued. Let's take a closer look at that next.
Sounds good. All right, so let's talk Kunstkinderen, those kids under 13 who are out there performing.
He looks so glamorous from the outside, but I bet there's a lot going on behind the scenes to protect them.
Absolutely. That's where submodule C comes in. First, you got to understand that employing anyone under 13 in the Netherlands is usually a no-go.
Right.
But for Kunstkinderen, there's this special exemption called an aanzetting.
So it's not just a free pass. It sounds like there's a whole process.
It's rigorous. Each on the feet is giving out by the labor inspectorate case by case.
Wow.
And they're super specific about the conditions to make sure those kids are safe and taken care of.
I bet those inspectors are extra careful with those cases.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things they're zeroing in on?
Well, first off, they want to see that valid on the seat for each kid. No exceptions. Then they're checking everything, making sure the employer is sticking to every single rule in that document.
So stuff like the number of hours they can work, what kind of breaks they get, even the type of performance.
Yep, all of that. It might even say things like the maximum number of hours a kid can perform each day.
Oh, wow.
The type of venue, even what the performance is about.
That's seriously thorough. What happens if someone breaks the rules?
Big consequences. We're talking about protecting kids here. Stakes are high.
Yeah.
You could be looking at some hefty fines, maybe even a work stoppage order.
No one wants to be responsible for shutting down a kid's big break.
You got it. Bottom line, if you're working with Kunstkinderen, you got to dot your I's and cross your T's.
Absolutely. All right, so let's shift gears and talk about internships and those vocational programs, sub-module B territory.
Internships? Yeah, it seems like every student these days has to do one.
It's a good way to get experience, but I'm sure there are some rules to make sure it's a positive learning experience.
Oh, you bet. All these regulations are designed to help young people learn new skills while staying safe.
Because let's face it, an internship isn't just another job.
Right. It's supposed to be about education.
Exactly. Before we go too far, what's the difference between the BBL and BOL internships?
Okay, so BBL stands for Beroepsbegeleidende Leerweg. Basically, it's an apprenticeship.
Okay.
The student works at a company most of the time, but also goes to school. And then BOL, that's Beroepsbegeleidende Leerweg.
Got it.
Think more like a traditional vocational school with some internships thrown in.
So BBL is more hands-on and BOL is more classroom-based.
Exactly. And the rules might be a little different for each type. But there are some basic rules that apply to both.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, here's a big one. School hours count as work hours for interns.
Wait, really? So if a student's doing a full-time internship and going to school part-time, you got to add up all those hours.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's all about making sure their total workload doesn't go over the legal limits.
Right. Wouldn't want to burn you out.
This is a tricky one. Lots of violations happen here. Employers got to be super careful.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
What else should employers keep in mind with internships?
Well, there's the paperwork. For starters, you've got to have a valid internship agreement.
Right, the legal stuff.
It's called a stage over in Konst. It spells out all the details of the internship, like how long it is, what the responsibilities are, what they're going to learn, everything.
Okay.
And if the intern is under 16, their parents or guardians need to sign it too.
So parents got to be involved and give their consent.
Absolutely. It makes sure everyone's on the same page and that the intern's rights are protected. Oh, and for those BBL students, the ones who spend more time at the company, there's some extra paperwork.
More paperwork.
Well, it's not about the paperwork itself. It's what it means. Those students need permission from the municipality to do the BBL program.
Oh, interesting. So the municipality is making sure these internships are legit and not just a way for companies to get free labor.
Yep. It's like a quality control check.
Smart. And don't forget the other important things we talked about for submodule A, like the risk assessments, providing good info and training, and having competent supervision.
All that applies to internships too, whether it's BBL or BOL.
So, consistent approach across the board. No matter the type of work, it's all about creating a supportive and safe environment for young people to learn and grow.
You got it. And remember, complying with these rules isn't just about avoiding fines.
Right.
It's about building a good work culture where young people feel valued and respected.
I love that. It's a win-win. Young people get valuable experience and employers get fresh perspectives and energy. Okay, but what if an inspector finds some violations? What happens then?
The good news is that the Dutch Labor Inspectorate usually takes a graduated approach.
Graduated approach.
Yeah, they don't jump straight to the worst punishment.
Okay.
For small violations or first-time offenses, they might just give a warning.
Slap on the wrist.
Exactly. A chance to fix the problem and make sure you're following the rules from now on.
So it's more about education than punishment.
You got it. They want to help you do the right thing, not just hit you with a fine. But of course, if the violations are serious or if it keeps happening, the consequences can be worse.
Okay, like what?
Well, fines are common. The amount depends on how bad the violation was and how big your company is. But sometimes, if a kid's safety is at risk or if they're doing work that's completely forbidden, the inspector can order a work stoppage.
Work stoppage? That's serious.
Yeah.
Makes you realize just how important it is to take these rules seriously.
For sure. And it's not only the employer who's held responsible. For kids under 16, both the employer and the kid's parents or guardians can be held liable.
So everyone's responsible.
Right. Everyone has to do their part to follow the law and protect those young workers. And if you think you can just ignore a warning and hope they don't come back, think again. There's this thing called Verkort Handhavingsstraject.
Verkort Handhavingsstraject, another Dutch term. What's that all about?
Basically, it means they can come down on you much faster the second time around.
Oh, so they're keeping tabs.
Yeah, if you're caught breaking the rules again within 5 years, the consequences could be more serious.
It's like getting a strike against you. You might get a warning the first time, the second time, you're in bigger trouble.
Exactly. You got to learn from your mistakes and make sure you're playing by the rules.
This has been a fascinating deep dive. It's amazing how many details there are in these regulations.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot. But we haven't even talked about what happens if you actually get inspected.
Oh, right. The main event. Well, let's get into that now and walk you through what you can expect during an inspection so you can feel confident and ready. All right, the inspector's at your door, clipboard ready. What now?
It's the moment of truth.
First, relax. Remember, these inspectors aren't trying to catch you out. Their goal is to make sure everyone's following the rules and keeping those young workers safe.
Easier said than done when you've got someone watching your every move. What's the first thing they're likely to do?
Usually they'll start by explaining why they're there, and then they'll ask some general questions about your business and the young people you employ.
Like how many young people work there, how old they are, what they actually do.
Exactly. And remember those records we talked about? This is when they really matter. The inspector will want to see those work hour logs, internship agreements, anything about those risk assessments, training records, supervision logs, all that.
Makes sense. They'll want to see the proof, not just take your word for it.
Yeah.
What happens if there's a mistake? Like a timesheet wasn't filled out right or a training session wasn't logged properly.
Honesty is key. If it was a genuine mistake, just own up to it and explain how you'll fix it. But if you try to hide something or make up information, that's when things get messy.
So be upfront and show that you're willing to cooperate. But what about the young workers? Will the inspector want to talk to them directly?
It's possible, yeah.
Wow.
They might want to interview some of them, especially if there are questions about how things are run or if they suspect something's wrong.
Right.
And remember, if we're talking about kids under 16, a parent or guardian has to be there during the interview.
That makes sense, protecting the child and making sure they feel comfortable.
Exactly. The inspector won't just be looking at paperwork and doing interviews, though. They might actually observe how things work in the workplace, looking for potential dangers, checking if you have the right safety equipment, things like that.
So even if your paperwork is perfect, if they see a 15-year-old operating a forklift without supervision...
You're in trouble.
Right. It's about actually doing what you say you're doing.
Yep. Gotta walk the walk. They might even ask to see the specific areas where those young people work.
So, no hiding the mess.
Transparency is key. Remember, the inspector can be a great resource, not just someone who enforces rules. They can give advice, answer questions, and even point out things you could improve that you hadn't even thought about.
So, don't dread the inspection. Think of it as a chance to learn and make things even better.
Exactly. It's like a free consultation with an expert on all these youth labor laws. Even if they do find some minor issues, they'll usually work with you to create a plan to fix them.
That's good to know. It sounds like the goal is really to make sure everyone's following the rules, not just to punish people.
That's the idea. And by following those rules and creating a supportive and safe work environment for young people, you're not only protecting yourself, you're building a better future for your business and for those young workers.
I love that. It's more than just checking boxes. It's about creating a workplace where young people feel valued, supported, and ready to succeed.
Well said. I think that's a great place to wrap things up.
It is. So, to all our listeners, we hope this deep dive gave you the knowledge and confidence to handle a workplace inspection and create a truly great experience for the young people on your team.
Remember, understanding the rules and the reasons behind them means you're investing in a brighter future for everyone.
That's it for today. Thanks for tuning in.